Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 1, Episode 2 of Small Screen Couch Commentary, Fallout.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to discuss a couple of things before we get into our normal routine for an episode. One, big announcement happened today, and by the time you're hearing this, it'll probably be yesterday.
Yeah.
But can I say that we called it? Can I say that we called it in episode one?
Yeah, we definitely said we called it.
Season two confirmed.
Confirmed. Kind of easy to call with how hyped the show was after like one day.
Yeah.
But
the internet has been abuzz.
Has it been a week? I mean, it's obviously been a week because we're doing episode two. Duh. After 1 week.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. Yeah. Pretty crazy. But yeah, you heard it here first on last week's episode. we said season two confirmed.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. But yeah, pretty wild, man. I guess we shouldn't be surprised with how well the show has been doing and how much, you know, people are talking about it. But I'm very excited because obviously what we've watched so far has been amazing. Yeah. And I'm wondering, too, you know, what other storylines are we going to get moving forward? The other thing I want to talk about really quick is just a big thank you to everyone who had listened to the first episode. We hit a milestone pretty quick. Within this first week, we are already above 100 downloads.
Thank you.
On our episode.
Cool. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Fastest one for sure, by far, for any of our shows.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. With the boys, it probably took a few weeks to get to 100. With Avatar, I think it was maybe like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
This was 1 week. So thank you so much to everyone who listened to the first episode. We're very excited to bring you this second episode and everything else moving forward. So yeah, just wanted to start off the episode by announcing season two and giving a big shout out and a thank you to all of our couch crew members out there.
That's sweet of you, Alex.
I know.
Wonderful.
All right. So now let's get into the routine here. First things first. What were you snacking on?
All right, so I'm going to do a little backstory.
Okay.
I went to the doctor's today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I stepped on the scale. I was not happy with that number.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say you were, like, down on the poundage.
No, I'm not down on the poundage, so I kind of had my last hurrah when I watched episode two.
Okay.
Yeah, so today, first thing I ate today was Taco Bell after going to the doctor. And then when I watched the show, I had Chinese food.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you know what?
I had a bourbon chicken with rice. It was delicious.
Where do you go for your Chinese?
China's best.
Oh, my gosh. China's best.
Because it is China's best.
It really is.
It's so good.
I was getting down on some ice cream, cookies and cream.
You know what's crazy? You know what else I had today?
Ice cream.
I had custard.
Oh, gosh.
Nikki's
Rita's?
Custard, the new place right down the street in Oregon. Well, by my house.
You know what? I haven't heard of that spot yet. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yo, shout out to Nikki's Custard.
Oh, no, wait. Delicious. I know. You're talking about right by Jimmy John's.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. If you're in the area, go to Nikki's Custard. Not sponsored. Just really like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not sponsored yet. okay. Yeah. So what did you give the rating on this episode?
Dude, 8.5.
Okay.
I think that might be the same thing I gave last week.
I also went 8.5.
Yeah.
I also went 8.5. I just want to say the other thing that has been making me very excited about the show is I've been now wanting to go back and play one of the Fallout games.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit before this. You've been on Discord saying everyone should download Fallout 76, which I'm down for.
Yeah.
I never played New Vegas, so I already downloaded New Vegas, haven't played it yet, but I'm definitely going to play it.
I never played 76 either, and for those of you who are fans of the Fallout series, you know Fallout 76 had a very, we'll just say, tumultuous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had a rough start.
Sorry.
Vocab words.
Tumultuous. How do you say it?
Tumultuous.
I can't say that word.
Yes, you can.
Tumultuous.
See, you just did it.
Look, I'm learning as we go.
It had a tumultuous start, but apparently it got really good. You know, several months or like a year after release, and apparently people are still playing it. And actually, also Fallout 4 is getting an update, a next gen update at the end of this month.
Yeah,
and some new features and other stuff.
So probably I'll play that too.
Yeah,
yeah.
But let's get into the episode.
Yeah. So it opens up, and we get to finally meet Dr. Wiltzig. He's in. This is like a little flashback, I guess, of before. The Brotherhood gets all the information on him. And he is in the enclave, or as I like to call it, the enclave. And he's working in a group in the beginning. And you see these people, like, taking dogs and weighing them. And if they don't reach 10 pounds, they throw them in the furnace.
Yeah, they get incinerated.
You knew I wouldn't like that.
Oh, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, Billy is going to hate this. Billy is very much an animal person. Yeah. And anytime we're watching movies or TV shows where animals are getting hurt, Billy is very upset.
Yeah, I usually turn things off when that happens.
That being said, if it's a video game, Billy does not give a shit.
yeah, you're right. In video games, I'll shoot whatever.
Yeah.
It's going hunting, man. But Dr. Wiltzig gets this dog, weighs him, and it's very close to 10 pounds, just underneath, though. So he's supposed to throw this dog in the furnace, and it's CX-404. And he writes down the name, and it's 10.0 pounds. He saves this dog's life.
Yeah.
And
gets a little attached.
Yeah, you get a montage of them in, you could say, his room, his dorm, whatever, at the Enclave. And it's him training the dog and doing his science work and all that kind of stuff. And it's super cute. I loved it. Yeah. You know me. But you get this whole montage. But then towards the end, the dog's grown up. And Dr. Wiltzig is doing something weird. He takes a little, like, glowy pill-looking thing.
Yeah, it almost looks like a
fuse.
Yeah, like I was going to say, like almost like a what you would see in another movie or TV show, like a transmitter that gets, like, you know, injected into somebody. Yeah.
Like in The Boys.
Yes.
Yeah. And he injects it right in his neck, like right below the ear. And he, I guess it knocked him out.
Yeah, he was unconscious. And I thought at first, like, he was, like, going to wake up with superpowers or something.
Right? Same. And so, yeah, this happens, and he's knocked out. The dogs are kind of watching over him, and you kind of realize the dog's in a little, like, hole in the wall, so he's not supposed to have this dog.
Right.
And he wakes up to the dog licking his face to wake him up, and then another doctor shows up and pulls the alarm on him.
Yeah, what a bitch.
Yeah. Doesn't even want to have a conversation, nothing. And, I mean, Dr. Wilson's like, fuck you, bro. I think he knocks him out. No, the dog gets him,
The
right?
dog gets him, yeah.
Yeah, that dog. CX-404. A.K.A. Dog Meat, A.K.A. Boss.
Well, and you know what, though? Like, if you're this other scientist, how are you going to just automatically know that this dog, who's a full-grown dog, looks like all the other dogs?
Yeah.
How do you know that that one's not one that he's supposed to have?
I'm not sure.
Off the bat?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Again, we don't know the rules. Maybe they don't have... They're not
Maybe he's not
to
supposed
pets.
To have it. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense, I guess.
He's probably supposed to only do his doctor research and only that. It seems pretty strict in there. But they have, like, this epic escape where, like, a freaking turret flies up outside.
Yeah.
And starts shooting at them, and they're running, and bullets are just going off. First of all, Wiltzig's slow as fuck.
Super slow.
Yeah, and this poor dog is on a short leash, man. And he's, like, pulling Wiltzig, like, come on, bro. And, like, the fact that neither of them got shot once.
Miracle.
Blows my mind. That bot was a stormtrooper, for sure.
Bot should have used Vats.
Yeah, for real. Vats is the best. But, yeah, so that's Wiltzig gets out. He's fine. But I kind of like this whole scene because you really don't know anything yet, but you still feel like you're understanding what's happening in the story.
Yeah, they do a good idea, or a good idea. They good do a good idea. Job of kind of stringing you along, but not stringing you along.
Yeah.
They're not really spoon-feeding you everything, but nothing's super obvious. The mystery is still there.
Right, but we start to see why he's important to the story. Just at least it gives you an idea of why he's important. So then we cut to good old Lucy is finally starting her adventure.
Yeah, she's outside of the vault.
Okie dokie.
And, you know, the whole scenery out there with all the bones and the desolate nature of the area, I'm like, man, this feels so much like one of the games when you're first coming out of the vault. It's crazy. Also kind of gave me Mad Max vibes.
Definitely Mad Max vibes, because she's out in, like, a desert type area with all sand. One thing I want to say, this is really weird, but I noticed in the first episode, and I watched this episode, and I look at her, I'm like, she's not from America, like, in real life. I was like, this actress definitely has an accent, and I don't know where from. But then I see her interview, and she had an accent, and I was like, I called it.
I did not pick up on any, like, I don't know her from any other
me
film
neither.
Or TV. I didn't pick up on that, and then I saw an interview literally just today and found out she's English, and She knew how many vaults there were.
She did know how many vaults there
did,
were.
Is that, did you watch the same clip?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah, okay. Where they're answering questions and like throwing the cards away. Yeah. Yeah, it was just weird. I don't know. I just saw her and I go, that's not an American's face. Like, that's just what my thought was.
What does an American look like?
I don't know. Not that pretty, I guess. Like, okay.
And you know what? I actually have to apologize. I was calling a character's their real name. I was saying that incorrectly. I was saying Walter Goggins.
It's Walton.
It's Walton. Walton, yeah. Goggins.
By the way, we'll get to it, but he's phenomenal.
Yeah. Great actor.
Oh, my goodness.
Great in this show.
Yeah. So, yeah, you hit a good point. Like, it feels like the game, and I think that's what I love about the show is if you didn't play the games, you could probably watch this and enjoy it, but it still gives you, if you did play the games, that feeling. I remember playing Fallout 3 and walking into an abandoned house right after leaving the vault, and you just see skeletons laying in bed or sitting at a table, and Lucy runs, goes into a house, and she sees a whole family at a table and skeletons, and you do see on the table a bottle, and it's Vault-Tec Plan D. Yeah. it's poisonous. So you either think they were going to take it or they did take it before the bombs fell.
Right, right.
So you have that. She kind of goes on an adventure, and she starts feeling herself when she makes a fire. She makes a fire for nighttime, and she's just like, I could do this. Like,
yeah.
Look at me. I made fire.
Well, you know what? If you're somebody who was sheltered like she was, and, you know, you just, obviously she learned a lot down there on how to survive, but she learned how to survive in the vault.
Yeah.
And has no idea what the real world is like. Obviously, they know that there are survivors, you know, above them, you know, surface dwellers and whatever. But they really don't know a whole lot about what life is like outside of the vault. So, yeah, she definitely was proud of herself for making this fire, but might not have been the best idea.
No, it's not. She'd be in the vault, and I bet they had survival classes.
Absolutely.
So she's doing everything correctly to the class's lessons, right? So I'm sure she's super cocky, but she does end up falling asleep. And, yeah, something wakes her up. And it's good old CX-404. Can we just call him Dog Meat? I know he's not Dog Meat. Can we just call him Dog Meat?
No.
All right, 404 it is.
There we go, 404.
Isn't that an error, like, if you get on a website?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, he's growling at her, and she's kind of like, what the fuck?
I thought it was about to be a face-off.
Yeah, real. And then he disappears off in the darkness, and you see Wiltzig sitting in a chair and just staring at her, real creepy-like.
Yes, very creepy.
I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Like, it's creepy for a man to just come up onto a person sleeping and then just be there watching them sleep. It's more creepy to then once they're awake, just be like, hello.
Yeah.
Like, the way he talks.
Chill.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very just like he doesn't even realize what he's doing is weird.
No. And he's starting to have a conversation with her, but he keeps that same tone the whole way through. And he basically, the whole conversation is, you should go back to the vault. Like,
yeah,
you have no idea what's up here. And it starts with, because 404 brings back this huge cockroach.
Huge.
Like, the same size as him. And
it's pretty much
tearing it apart. And Wiltzig explains how the cockroaches didn't just survive nuclear holocaust like everybody thought. They evolved.
Yeah.
You know, they got bigger freaking antlers so they can hunt in packs. Bigger
antlers?
Antenna. Antennae.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah. And, you know, bigger mandibles and all that stuff, or they grew mandibles. I don't know. But, yeah, these big cockroaches that are in the game.
Yeah.
We get to see 404, sorry, not Dog Meat, eat them up.
And, well, yeah, and he basically says, like, you build this fire and it's going to attract that and more.
He says you should know better than to light a fire at night because that's going to attract all. I mean, a death claw? Oh, boy.
Dude, I can't. I'm assuming we're gonna get a death claw here at some point. I can't wait till we do.
But yeah, so he tells her, go back to your vault, and then she kind of explains, I can't. And he goes, well, then you need to evolve. But are you gonna want the same things when you become that person?
Yeah, he gives her a stern warning that, you know, she's not gonna survive up here if she can't adapt to the way life is. And she's going to have to do things that she doesn't want to do or do things that she never thought she would have to, yeah, to survive.
Yeah.
We already know that, you know, if push comes to shove, I think
capable.
I think she knows that she's going to have to kill somebody. But I'm just wondering if she knows, you know, how often that's going to have to happen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's only she would like not to kill anyone.
Right.
But up here, it's the Wild Wild West, baby.
Yeah.
There ain't very no rules. So. Ain't no laws. So we'll have to see if she can evolve and adapt. But yeah, so he kind of gives her that last warning, and she's just kind of like, who are you? And he just walks away with 404 in the distance.
Just pieces out.
And I thought it was kind of cool. You do see his thing glow in his,
neck.
As
yeah.
He's walking
yeah.
away. Kind of give you an idea like, okay, there's something. There's something right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but I'm wondering what it is.
It's a battery. It keeps him alive.
Tony Stark style.
Yeah, it's exactly yeah. what it is. but yeah, so we get a little wake-up call there for Lucy because she first is feeling herself. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait, yeah, I'm not fully prepared for this.
Right, yeah.
And then we have a nice cutoff to Titus and Maximus on their helicopter.
Let me tell you, man, just this whole scene right here.
Great.
Phenomenal. And I just remember the first time I got power armor in the game, I just felt like, oh, my gosh. I was barely, like, surviving some battles here. And then as soon as you get that power armor, you're like, this is awesome. And I think they do a really good job of illustrating, one, how powerful the Brotherhood is.
Yeah.
You know, they're the military up there, but they're also kind of like ordained peacekeeper type people.
Yeah.
And the cult-like nature of the Brotherhood is very apparent to all of the recruits and everyone, but you quickly see the knights not always really following the same kind of cult-like vibes.
No, not at all. They're kind of bros.
Yes.
They're very much
bros. They're Chads.
They're Chads. Sorry, Chad. But so the knight, first of all, makes Maximus clean the crotch plate
yes.
for no reason. But Maximus has to be all happy about it.
Yeah.
And he's just like, cool, man. Like, he's trying to start a conversation. Not much is happening. And they get off. Titus is like, I want to fight something. So
yeah, he's like, I'm bored. Land the helicopter.
Yeah, bro. Which is kind of funny when you go forward in the show. You're like, bro, come on. Are you serious?
Yeah.
So they get off. They go down a little strand, and they're going on their little adventure together. You have a quick, like, I don't know, 5-minute scene of Wiltzig sitting in front of a cave eating Cram, their version of
yes,
Spam.
Yes, which, by the way, disgusting.
It looked disgusting.
But have you ever eaten, like, Spam in real life?
Maybe once.
I don't remember it because it's been a number of decades since I've eaten it, but I don't remember liking it.
I'm sorry, Jomir. My buddy Jomir loves Spam.
Well, you know what? The whole island of Hawaii loves Spam.
Every single one?
Well,
do you think if you move there, you just like Spam?
No, I'm just saying, like, it's a very popular, common
yeah.
thing over there.
Wasn't it made to, like, survive for a long, like, to be able to be edible for a long time?
I'm sure. It's probably, it's packed with so much salt, it could probably survive several years.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was, like, for situations like a Holocaust.
Maybe.
Or war,
maybe.
I guess. But either way, he's in Cram, they're in front of a cave, 404 brings out a severed hand. He's like, we should probably keep moving.
Yeah. Smart move. Cause they also hear a little bit of a groan there. Yeah.
Was that good?
That was good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I scared every dog in the neighborhood right there.
I'm sure you did.
So yeah, we quick back to Maximus and Titus, and they're in front of that cave, and Maximus realizes, oh, I think our targets were here.
Yeah.
The Cram, apparently. Either way, pushes the story forward. So they're in front of the cave, and they hear a growl. Well, they have to make sure, well, did this thing kill the target?
Right.
Or whatever. So they're going in the cave, and freaking Titus tells Maximus, you go first.
Yeah, it's like, tell the guy with no power armor who has never really been on an actual mission or has any real field experience, you go in there and see what's happening.
Yeah. What does he tell him? He's like, you get the armor from bravery. This is a bravery test.
Right. Right.
Like, okay. Well, I'm a bitch then. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. I'm like, you know what? I quit.
Yeah. I'm like 50-50 if I had that armor on. And if I
yeah,
don't
exactly.
have it, 0%. So he goes in, and it's like that classic scene where, like, oh, there's nothing. And he turns around, and he just has that scared face. And Titus is like, what? And turns around, and there's, it's a bear, but like a mutant bear.
Oh, yeah. The radiation has mutated the bear to be huge and
killing machine.
Yeah, and super strength.
Yeah.
And it's getting into a little scuffle with Titus.
Which actually the fight at first is like, okay, Titus turns around and he goes, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And his deep voice. And then they start like throwing hands, you know, like they're pushing each other back and forth. But there's a point where Titus hits him hard and knocks it back. And the bear kind of just gets pissed.
Oh, yeah. Just made it angrier.
And freaking Maximus has his gun out, but he just doesn't know what to do.
Well, and, you know, it's funny because Titus has this big like machine gun. And I thought for sure, oh, he's just going to blast this bear away.
Which is what he should have done.
Right. But the bear was already too close, and then the bear just crushes the gun.
Yeah.
Like it's almost made out of aluminum or something. So when they're fighting there, even without the gun, I'm thinking, okay, Titus is a trained knight. He should be able to hold his own. And at first he is, but then eventually he starts getting his ass whipped.
He does. And the only thing he can think to do is run out of the cave and screaming, fuck. Dude, it is the so relatable but hilarious moment. Like, it's like I would do the same thing. Even in the video game, I probably would do the same
100%.
Thing.
If I'm in a power armor suit and I come up against an enemy that is tearing me up, I'm not sticking around.
Right. It's just like, well, this thing's too freaking strong.
Yeah.
So he trips over something, lands on a rock. So inside the armor, his head bounces around in there because he's knocked down.
He's concussed,
and this bear is kind of like confused. He's like, the heck just happened? But the bear is so strong. Like, did you notice he throws the armor, but then how the armor just kind of instantly falls to the ground
because
it's 2 tons,
right?
That bear tossed it like it was nothing.
No big deal.
And this is the moment where Maximus comes out, has his gun. What's his name? Titus wakes up a little bit and he's like, what are you doing? Fucking shoot it. And finally, Maximus takes a deep breath.
Lines up a shot.
He turned the vats on. He had to have.
100%.
Because he popped this bear straight in the head.
And you know what's crazy, too? Like, it only took one shot from this pistol.
Yeah.
You know, to kill this bear. And I'm thinking, okay, how is it that this one shot from a handgun, from a pistol, killed this bear, but Titus, you know, like, punching the shit out of it, didn't even phase it.
Yeah, it had to be like the best shot ever. I think that was the only shot you could hit to kill the bear. Like anywhere else would have done anything.
It's a kill shot.
Yeah. Again, he used vats, so it's okay. But here, Titus is yelling at Maximus, like, get my helmet off. Get my helmet off. He takes the helmet off, and he's like, now get me a stim pack.
Yeah. And I want to point out here.
This is great.
Was not expecting the person under the mask to be who they were.
Yeah.
In Michael Rapaport.
Dude, what a great... He's hilarious.
It's funny. You see him pop up in so many things that you don't expect him to pop up in. And, you know, a lot of the stuff he's known for is more, like, comedic roles and stuff. But every now and then, he does a serious role. And even sometimes action stuff, which clearly we see here.
Yeah.
But he pretty much just is pissed at Maximus because he basically almost died. And Maximus was hesitating.
Yeah. He goes off about like the Brotherhood and this world. He's like, they send us on freaking missions to go get a toaster to bring it back. And you know what it does? Toast.
Yeah.
And he's just like pissed off. And then he goes, you know what? This is all your fault.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah. He starts blaming Maximus. And then he calls Maximus stupid, tells him like the Brotherhood's going to freaking kill you and hang you up and all this stuff. And so Maximus, as he's getting out of the stim pack, is starting to think like,
maybe you don't deserve this.
Yeah, fuck you, dude.
Well, and he even says to Titus, he says, you don't deserve that armor.
Yeah.
So, you know, Maximus is clearly drinking the Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
And he's fully in on the lore and the, you know, the fairy tale that the Brotherhood has spun for him and all the other recruits and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, when Titus tells him, you know, they're going to hang you, they're going to kill you for this, he says, not if I bring home the target.
Yep.
Which, you know, I guess if I'm in that situation, that's probably going to be my mentality as well. It's like, yeah, they might kill me, but if I complete this mission, especially before all the other knights are going to, because what are there? There are four of them?
There's
four
like four or five knights, yeah.
If he can make it happen before the other knights do, then he's, you know, going to get all the praise.
And they'll probably be like, okay, well, that's your armor now, bro.
Yeah.
Which is kind of dope because during the fight, the bear scratches the armor. So now that armor has like a scrape across the chest.
It does make it look more badass.
It looks pretty sick.
Yeah.
But yeah, he he lets Michael Rapaport die.
Yeah, I do feel kind of bad because even though Titus was a dick.
Yeah, a bit of a bitch too.
and a bitch. You know, it's like, dude.
Did he deserve to die?
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah.
You could have maybe, you know what I would have done? I would have taken him out of the armor and then like put the stim pack like a few yards away and been like, all right, go crawl and stim yourself then.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. That's pretty evil, but still good.
How's that evil?
But better than killing him.
Well, okay, yeah. It is evil, yes, but yes, better than killing
him. Yeah, you're almost torturing the poor guy.
I'm just saying to get, you know, enough time to get away.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah, but what happens is he lets him die and he ends up taking the armor.
Yeah.
And there's a cool little scene here, like a little montage where he's just testing out the armor by the beach. And he's throwing like a big old like brick from a building and throwing it into the ocean and throwing it far.
Yeah.
By the way, do you think the ocean is pretty darn radiated, huh?
Has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be. I mean, just in the area where they were in California, you know, how many nukes went off there? Like 4 or 5 nukes.
Yeah.
And they're going off across the entire country.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. That amount.
So, and
probably the world.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I've never gotten deep enough into any of the games to know is it the entire world that got nuked? Is it just America? I don't know.
It's a good question.
I've never gotten that far into it.
It's a great question. Fallout 5 in Europe.
Maybe.
But yeah, he's testing the armor out. He even does something where he kicks a rock and it just takes down a whole building and he is just feeling himself.
Well, and there's like people living in there and they're like, we didn't do anything. We're sorry.
So he goes around the corner to see what's happening. And there's also two guys fighting. Yeah. And this is freaking hilarious. So you think like, oh no, he broke down a building.
I forgot about this.
But these two guys are fighting and the one's beating the shit out of the other one.
Yeah.
And he stops the guy who's beating the shit out of him, grabs him by the head. He's just holding him there.
It's funny, too, because Maximus, you know, he's got a pretty, like, I don't want to say soft-spoken voice.
He's very soft-spoken, yeah.
You know, he's just a little, I wouldn't say mousy, but...
Soft.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Yeah. But when he puts on the armor, he's like, unearned him.
Yeah, and like,
unearned him now.
It's super, like, he changes even his wording of things. It's very professional.
Yeah.
And
he's got to sound like a knight.
Yeah, that's true. And so he makes him let him go. The guy gets away, thanks him and everything. And then he lets the dude go. And the guy's like, look, I'm sorry for beating him up, but like he was fucking my chickens.
Yeah.
And the best thing is first it goes to a chicken. Then it goes to Maximus' real face inside. And he kind of turns his head. And then you get out of the armor. And the armor just kind of looks back and forth at the chickens and the guy running away. And I was like, geez, man. The wrong guy to beat up, apparently.
Apparently.
How do you fuck a chicken?
Carefully?
Dude, I don't know, man. That was weird. But it was
very much
that
so.
Character is actually, he shows up randomly here and there, and he's pretty funny. He actually is in this episode at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he says some really funny stuff. But so that's kind of what we get from Maximus for the most part of this show until a little bit later. So I'm going to get back to Lucy.
Yes.
Lucy is definitely on an adventure but has no idea where she's going. She's in like this wasteland, but she finds this guy out in the middle of nowhere who has a house, and he's just like kind of pissed off because something's not working. So she's like,
he's trying to get a water filter to work.
And he'll tell you why it doesn't work or why it's not working right now. She wants directions or like, can you lead me into somewhere where people are?
Right.
And so she comes along and asks, and she kind of goes, what you doing there? And he's like, oh, well, I'm trying to get this water filter to work, but I keep putting sand in, and sand keeps coming out. She's like, have you tried water? And so this
not
guy,
too bright.
This guy's crazy. And he asks, like, do you have water? And she's like, yeah. Thinking, he'll take a sip of it. He drinks the whole bottle, and, like, just messy, too.
Let me ask you this. Someone, you know, offers you a sip from a bottle or a can or something like that, are you waterfalling it?
You gotta waterfall it. I don't put my mouth on it. He puts his mouth on it, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
He's making out with that bottle.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
If you're taking a sip from someone else's drink, whether it's a can or a bottle, if you're not waterfalling it, you can keep it in.
I'm not taking it
like,
back.
I'm not taking it back.
First of all, if you don't have the know-all to waterfall it, I don't think you're a very clean person in general anyway.
Yeah.
you know. Yeah. So yeah, this guy, yeah, like you said, he's tongue in the bottle. And he
well, he says, you know, if somebody hands you a bottle of clean water, you drink it.
You drink all of it.
Yeah.
But he explains that there is a town down the road over the hill.
And she's like, over that hill? He's like, yeah, never been there, though. It's pretty dangerous. And she's like, just over that hill?
He says, I had an aunt who died there once. But yeah, he's like, yeah, it's called Philly, which when I first, I've been watching with subtitles on, I'm becoming old too.
Yeah.
It's spelled F-I-L-L-Y.
I definitely thought they were talking about Philadelphia Philly when I first heard it, which clearly it's not, but that's what I immediately was drawn to.
New Philly in California.
Hey, there we go.
But he also says, you can live here with me. You know, it's always nice to live with a family, get work done. And then, as she's walking away, I'm pretty sick. You won't have to put up with me too long.
He knows he's going to die.
And then it was real nice of you not to shoot me with your gun.
Yeah, definitely quite the character. And honestly, when I was watching it and she's walking away and he said that line, like, you know, thanks for not shooting me, I immediately thought this is going to come back to bite her.
Right.
You know,
or do what the normal thing would be.
Right. It's either going to come back to bite her or it's going to come back to help her in the future. Is my prediction.
I don't know how, because he's crazy, but maybe.
Who knows?
We shall see. But she does travel her way and she gets to the town of Philly. And let me tell you, Philly is just like I would picture a town in the video game.
Yeah, very much like a settlement you would find in one of the games.
And I thought that was awesome. And it the way it fit in didn't feel forced either. It just felt like, oh yeah, this is a town. But I love how it still mixes in like funny Fallout stuff. Like that character from the Wasteland is a character you would run into a game.
100%.
And then here you got a shop and it's like buy, sell, salvage. Something you can do in the game is salvage stuff at a shop. But there's also a place that's a barber and a dentist, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
So it's just a random weird town full of weird people. And yeah, you kind of get the vibe of how the world is up on the surface when she gets into this town / the shop. Because she knows that the shop has a Pip-Boy. It has the bobblehead.
Yep. It's got Vault Boy.
Vault Boy.
There's a lot of different Vault Tech merchandise there.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, this person might do some illegal trading of stuff in here.
Just a little bit.
And she blatantly says that to the store owner. Like, hey, I've noticed you've got Vault Tech stuff here. It's illegal to have that, so I know you deal with some criminals.
Right. Right.
And she's like, I'm not judging. I just want to know if you know somebody. But they go through this whole conversation first before she brings up who she wants to meet. And the lady's like, well, one, I thought you guys were extinct.
Yeah. You know, this was one of the scenes from the trailer.
Yeah.
Where the lady's just laughing because she's like, I didn't think you guys even existed. Or, you know, we thought you were all dead.
Yeah.
Because
they're as stupid, not stupid, but as ignorant to how the world works as Lucy is.
Yeah. But my whole thing too is, you know, obviously if this lady has all this Vault Tech stuff, Raiders had clearly gotten it from Vaults. So the Raiders that came into Vault 33 in the beginning, they're not far from that area as far as like where they, I guess, originated from.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that all the other vaults around there in that area, like they never found anybody until they found Vault 33?
Yeah, no, I doubt it. I think here's the thing. So this takes place after all the video games.
Right, right.
So there are probably times where there are vault dwellers who have came to the surface, I bet. And there are also a lot of vaults around that probably still aren't open.
True.
And they're probably incredibly impossible to get into.
Yeah. Well, and it's what, how many, like 120-something vaults, 122 or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, yeah, you would have to think some people either came out of the vaults, maybe because they're just like, I'm tired of this.
Oh, I wouldn't have made it 200 years.
Well, you can only, yeah.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have made it so long.
Alex.
I wouldn't have made it a year. I'd have been like 6 months. I'm like, I'm going to take my chance with the radiation.
Yeah.
Oh, being down there.
Nothing to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be pretty tough. I don't know. I probably could survive if I had like video games.
Maybe.
Then I could probably survive. I couldn't do it with the 50s technology.
No.
No, not at all. But yeah, so she starts having a conversation, wanting to get information. The lady kind of lets her know, like, how the world works up here. Like, and...
Yeah, again, giving her that warning of, like, you know, you don't know what you're doing up here. Like, you're gonna get yourself killed, yeah. Essentially.
So she does ask for, is it Moldavo? Is that how you say it? I forget. But anyway, I have a computer in front of me, and I'm not using it. But she asked for Moldavo. Moldero? I don't remember. Anyway, so she goes through that. She's not getting an answer about that from the store owner. And then she kind of goes, well, they talk about the vaults. And Lucy brings up, well, it's the vault dweller's job. How's it spelled?
Moldaver.
Moldaver, yeah. I was close. Moldaver, but it is Moldaver. And she's like, well, the job of the vault, people that live in the vaults are supposed to rebuild America. And this just pisses the lady off. Like, the vault was just for rich people to hide away from everything. You know, and she's like, I understand. It was a tough life. And the lady pulls out a shotgun and is like, get the fuck out of my shop right now. And yeah, I mean, what else can Lucy do but just get the hell out of there, right? There's nothing else she can do. So she leaves. But at this point, she bumps into Dr. Wiltzig again. And she's like, what the heck are you doing here? And he explains to her again, like, you shouldn't be here.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is telling her, hey, you are sticking out like a sore thumb. And you clearly have no idea what life is like up here. I will say this, though. No one's really telling her, like, hey, life up here sucks. They're just basically telling her, you shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, you know, part of me kind of thinks that the people who are on the surface, while it is crazy and it's wild, wild west and whatever, I think people like the way it is up there to an extent.
There's a bit of freedom, right? Yeah. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
But you can see everybody's living the life they want to, the way they want to. So I do get it. And she definitely, it isn't safe for somebody who is as nice as she is.
Yeah, no one that she's run into has been nice, aside from the guy who drank her water. Yeah, everyone
nice. He drank her water.
That's true. That's true. And even when, you know, the people in town there, when she's walking into town, like, you know, people are looking at her weird.
Yeah, and she even tries to ask somebody about Moldaver, and they just walk right by her.
Yeah.
As if she's not there. It's a guy who has a backpack on, but the backpack is a birdcage with a bird in it. It's very weird. So yeah, like I said, everybody's living their life the way they want to. But so Wiltzig tells her, you shouldn't be here. The lady from the shop comes out and, like, confirms that he's Wiltzig, and she's like, come on inside. And then she looks at Lucy again. I thought I told you to get the fuck out of here. Like, she's so pissed at her. And she mentions the name Wiltzig, and then you hear in the background, Wiltzig. And it's none other than my boy, the ghoul.
Yeah, and you know what? When he comes on screen, he is, you know,
he takes over the scene.
He does, 100%. I mean, you are focused on him, and I'm assuming it probably took hours and hours of time in makeup, but the way that they made him look like the ghoul, they did such a great job.
I honestly can't tell that there's any kind of prosthetic or makeup on.
No, it looks completely
natural.
How do
you make it look like somebody's missing a nose? And it still looks like the dude's face.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. And the other thing too, Walton Goggins, he's got like a very distinct smile, mm-hmm. like a very toothy smile.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they like allowed that to show through.
Yeah, but since he's in Fallout, it's like super yellow. It's like as white as his normal teeth are. But man, his character is just, I love it. Like, I love cowboys, you know, so this is like right up my alley.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just digging it. And the whole town, not even just the viewers, the whole town is focused on him.
Yeah, it's like the whole world stopped right there just to see what he had to say.
Yeah, and he tells them all, hey, there's a, I think all six factions have a bounty out on somebody who matches that description named Wiltzig. And he's like, so he's coming with me. And the lady's like, oh, he said there's a pretty high price. There's a bidding war going on. And the lady's, well, I was paid a lot of caps. So for those who don't know, in Fallout world, you pay with bottle caps. So save your bottle caps up.
Apparently, that is something that they all decided was going to be the currency, which I'm wondering then, were all the bottle caps kind of in circulation from pre-war?
Maybe. Or maybe it just happened.
Or did somebody just find like a shit ton of, what is it, Nuka-Cola?
Nuka-Cola.
And just started being like, ah, well, let's just drink all these and then we'll save the caps and this will be our money.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, cool, yeah, that works for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's bottle caps. She's like, I got paid a lot of bottle caps to give this man safe travel. And right as she says that, freaking the ghoul just takes out a pistol and shoots off Will Sig's foot.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy because when it happens, his leg just explodes. And, you know, at first glance, it just looks like he's shooting a regular gun. And I'm like, that packed a big punch there. Like, what the hell happened that he shot him one time in the leg and his leg is now gone?
Yeah. So we'll find out a little bit why. So the lady pretty much says, like, you know, this much of caps for anybody who kills this man, but you don't get it if I kill him.
Right.
So the whole town is pretty much full of raiders who want money, and they start, there's a just a dope fight going on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And the one of the first things they do is he turns around and he shoots somebody trying to shoot him, and it's a slow motion shot, and you get a close-up of the bullet, and it looks like an atomic bomb.
Yeah. It's
so we know now why things blow up. Matter of fact, he shoots one guy through the chest, and the bullet goes through and hits another guy in the head, and the guy's head explodes.
Yeah. Each of these little bullets is like a mini bomb, and every time he starts shooting, you know, like either the person's blowing up or whatever he's hitting, like the buildings are blowing up.
It's pretty awesome. And these are just, both his guns are guns that are in the game, and it's just, again, it's cool that you would find, it's kind of like a, I wouldn't say as much as Borderlands, the video game, but Fallout, you can find a bunch of different type of guns that can do different things.
Not yeah.
To the extent of Borderlands, but
Borderlands is very much like taking it over the top, but Fallout also has a lot of great guns. And I do want to just give a quick shout out to one of our commenters on TikTok. They had mentioned from the last episode when we were talking about the cannon that shot the baby arm or the baby leg,
the baby
into that
arm,
guy.
Yeah.
Junk cannon for life.
Yeah, junk cannon for life. So, yeah, this fight's, I love this fight. And there's a part where he's like, you guys are making me a little hungry. And he grabs little cherry tomatoes from a cart. So I know one thing, Alex thought about Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers right away.
Absolutely.
I knew that.
Absolutely.
But I love it because he goes to sit down. He's walking away with them and somebody's shooting him in the back. But he's a ghoul. He can't die. So he takes the hit, and you can tell it shakes him up a little bit. So he sits down for a second with the cherry tomatoes in his hand. And there's a guy that he shot earlier next to him. And the guy's bleeding from his neck. And he does just the smoothest cowboy line. He's eating the cherry tomato. He's like, I'd offer you a cherry tomato, but you got a hole in your neck. And I'm just like, this guy's the man.
Yeah, his dialogue is pretty good.
He does a great job throughout the whole show with this. So he's in there. He starts loading his gun back up. And as the battle rages on, Lucy's looking inside the shop and notices in the ledger that Maldaver does do purchasing through the shop. And then our boy Maximus shows up because Lucy decides to come out and help out. And this is the scene from the trailer where she's like, you know, I know that this is, I don't know what it's like up here, but you're being kind of mean. I'm going to try to stop you and I'll have to use force. And then she shoots him. He's like, that's a little drop in a big old puddle of drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's about to shoot her. Oh, by the way, the dog gets stabbed and killed in the scene as well.
Yeah. Well,
didn't like it.
I figured when it happened that you were not going to be happy.
No, I'm going to stop watching the show for good. You're going to do the podcast by yourself.
You know what? And I would have gladly gladly soldiered on.
Wow, dude, that was disrespectful. Disrespectful.
What do you want me to do here?
But anyway, so Maximus shows up to save the day. And you can tell Lucy's like loving Maximus' knight armor.
Yeah, she is. I don't know if the vault dwellers necessarily know about the knights.
I would think so. If I remember from the games, they were from pre-war, and they probably had some information in the vault.
But either way, when Maximus shows up, she is very like amazed by him being there. And at that point, I think at one point there too, like, you know, when the ghoul tries to shoot her, and Maximus takes the hit, they're kind of on the floor and he lifts his mask up and he's like, hey, like, here's the plan. I'm going to go out there and fight the ghoul. Like, you protect this guy. Cause Maximus also knows that he needs the target. He needs to bring him back. And I'm assuming the Brotherhood wants him alive. They never really make that clear, but Maximus, being the kind of good person that he is probably going to try and take him alive.
Yeah.
But when they're talking and he has his mask up, Maximus is kind of like spitting game a little bit too.
Yeah, he's trying to be smooth with it.
Oh yeah,
you can tell for sure. But she kind of agrees to it right away because she's smitten by the knight armor.
Yeah.
I don't know about Maximus, but by the knight armor.
Yes.
And so she kind of agrees to it. She gets Dr. Wiltzig off the ground, bloody leg and all, into the shop.
This was probably my favorite scene in the whole episode.
Wild, bro. I don't know if this is from the game or not, but I love it. They get like this box out.
Yeah, like the shopkeeper, she just starts yelling to her partner there. She's like, legs! And she's like, oh, I think she says, like, they're under the coffee table or something like that. And she's like, legs!
Go get them. And she's like, okay, well, they're usually not under there. And then they go, the whole conversation goes, she finally brings back the legs. And she's like, they weren't under the coffee table.
Yeah, yeah.
Which reminds me of, like, my house, because my wife moves things every week. And I can't stand it because I'm very much one. I like things in a spot for efficiency. So if I'm going to use that something in the kitchen, it should be in the kitchen. But I'm also a creature of habit. So like I'm like reaching for something and then there's nothing there. So this reminds me of my life at home.
I hear you on that.
But they do. So what they do is they put this like big old like cylinder first over Dr. Wiltzig's leg, and you just hear grinding.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like a pencil sharpener.
Yes, yes.
And I thought for sure like he was gonna have like a sharpened stump, you know, going into this mechanical leg.
But I think this thing like ground up the leg and then drilled into it as well.
Yeah,
because it's pretty sturdy on his arm, on his leg, and then they bring a thing that's like shaped like a robot foot, and they hook it to the bottom of that.
So right,
it gives him a foot. But he's just leaking blood.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like this isn't something that's like gonna stop you from bleeding, keep you alive. It just gives you a foot to walk on until you die.
I feel like it should have like cauterized.
That's what I was thinking.
The wound there, and then just like, I don't know.
But it did not.
No, not at all.
But during this whole conversation, they still need him to have safe passage, but they have no way to do this. And he goes, "She can take me," and points to Lucy. And the shopkeeper's like, "No, the fuck she can't."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Anybody else in this town you can trust?" And she's like, "Damn, Dr. Wiltzig, you're right."
When you're right, right.
When you're right, Dr. W. And Lucy's hesitant as well on this. She's like, "Oh, I don't need to do this." And the shopkeeper goes, "Well, he's going to Maldaver. And you're not getting in there unless you have him with you."
Right.
"And you're definitely not getting your dad back because now you have a trading option here."
Yeah, he kind of gives her leverage because it's like, okay, well, Moldaver wants him. You want your dad, so maybe there could be a trade. But you know what, though? Just seeing the way Moldaver was moving in the first episode, I don't think she's the kind of person that would just be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I want that. I have your dad. I'll give you back your dad. Like, clearly she wanted her dad for some specific reason as well.
Right.
So I'm not thinking she has as much leverage as this shopkeeper thinks she will have.
Right, yeah. Moldaver seems like she's got a little more power and
yeah, a little more influence.
A little more willpower, too. Like, well, yeah, you got to give me a little more. But Lucy finally, she agrees because she knows that she can get her dad. I love it because they used the Pip-Boy to set a location on the map.
Yes,
to follow
it was awesome.
Like a GPS, and it's like, that's what you would do in the game. So just awesome scene there with that. As she's getting prepared to leave, actually she leaves and she sees Maximus fighting with the ghoul again, and they kind of walk off. They see each other and Maximus keeps fighting. And this fight's pretty cool because at first you're like, okay, this knight armor is helping Maximus out a lot.
Yeah, I thought for sure that, you know, he was going to make quick work of the ghoul. Maybe not necessarily kill him or whatever, obviously, but
win the fight.
Yeah, it would be very lopsided. And like initially it kind of was going Maximus's way. Like, he was punching the shit out of the ghoul. You know, he's trying to shoot him or whatever. And the ghoul's quick, but there's never any time in the initial part of this fight where I'm thinking, okay, Maximus is probably going to lose this. Like, that never even crossed my mind.
No. But then the ghoul has watched Star Wars, and he got the high ground.
Yeah, he and did.
He tells him, he's like, it's kind of hard to get up here when you got a 12-piece skillet set on you. Yeah. So he's just coming up with all the one-liners, and he starts really, like, working things out to win this fight. And at one point, he gets back down the ground with him and is using his speed to his advantage.
Right.
And notices that Maximus is a rook, right? He doesn't really know how to use this thing. So Maximus gets his foot stuck in some wood. But one of my favorite lines here, too, is like, you know, you're driving that thing like a shopping cart.
Yes.
Where are you coming up with this, dude?
Well, and it's funny because, you know, the ghoul, you know, very clearly inspired by a cowboy. And I think you had mentioned either last week in the episode or maybe just when we were talking about stuff. But, you know, he reminded you of
Doc Holliday. From Tombstone.
Doc Holliday also, you know, notorious one-liners in Tombstone.
That's what I love about it. If you remind me of Doc Holliday, you're probably going to be one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
And it has happened quickly with the ghoul in Fallout. So he's doing all that, but he tells him, he's like, you know, he knows you're not really good at using this thing. And he kind of makes a maneuver on him and says, you should have read the manual. And he cuts a certain pipe. Things starts to fall apart. Like, things aren't working well. So actually, he wins this fight, and Maximus has to use his Iron Man skills and fly away.
Yeah, yeah.
Very sloppily, but he gets away, and he crashes, like,
Way far away.
Like, somebody's taking a piss, and he lands right behind this guy taking a piss. But so the fight's over there. The ghoul realizes Wildzig's gone. And as he's getting ready to leave to go after Wildzig, he kind of walks by the dog. And a face, kind of like a sad face, hits him. And he picks up the dog, takes him in, hits him with a stim pack, and brings the dog back to life. And at this moment, I don't know if does he do it because he feels bad for the dog, or does he do it because the dog's going to go to his owner and sniff him out.
I was more along the lines of he's going to use the dog to try and find Wildzig. Yeah. But I think also a little bit because he was like, well, maybe I've got a little buddy now, you know, a little companion.
You got to have a companion. When you're out in Fallout world, you usually have a companion.
Yeah. But I think just from the ghoul's perspective, he's thinking, well, I need some way to find this target since I've lost him. Dog can find him.
Yeah, and he's going to sniff out his owner because obviously there was a really close attachment there.
Right, right.
If you kill the owner and the dog attacks you, chances are he loves the owner.
Right.
So he's off on his adventure to go find the owner, and then we get a nice flash to Lucy and Wildzig, and Wildzig is just...
He's in bad shape.
Yeah, he's just chugging along the best he can, but it's not much chugging going on.
No.
And they get to this, the satellite looks like a 1950s diner, but they get to a satellite in the middle of the desert, and it has like shiny red on it. It just looks like that old 50s style, but it was for a satellite. And they're sitting there, and Wildzig pretty much tells Lucy, I can't make it. You're going to have to take me there. And she's like, I can't take you there. Like, she's like, you can make it. And she's like doing this sweet thing, like, that made me believe that he's still part of the adventure. Like, oh, you're going to make it. I can guarantee you're going to make it. And he goes, no, I'm not. And he took freaking Plan D by Vault-Tec.
Well, he took a cyanide pill, he said.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Plan D. Maybe it was a cyanide
pill. He definitely said cyanide pill.
Okay.
Maybe Plan D is a cyanide pill.
But it was
made
by Vault-Tec.
Yeah.
Because he said it didn't taste that bad or something like that.
Well, yeah, I think he said like that was Vault-Tec's like best thing that they ever invented or like most merciful thing or something like that.
Yeah. So he takes it and he pretty much is telling her like I'm gonna die soon. But what she wants is in my head.
Yeah, he says they don't want me, they want what's in my head.
Yeah.
So he basically tells her like, yo, you go ahead and like chop my head off and take my head there and
it'll be easier to carry.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You'll still make it because you won't have to drag my whole body there.
He even gives her this tool that looks like a handheld chainsaw that you would like cut, like you would trim hedges with.
That's exactly what I thought it was. I'm like, did she just get a hedge trimmer to kill this dude or to chop his head off?
Yeah. So it's like, dang. And then before he goes, he says something along the lines like, you're going to change the world, and then it says Miss McLean.
And yeah, so he knew who she was.
Yeah, knew her name, knew who she was. So that's probably why he asked her to be the one to go. And now she's just kind of like, oh, what the fuck do I do? This guy's dead. I got a freaking hedge trimmer in my hand. He wants me to take his head off. So she looks around, sees nobody's around, and she goes, okie dokie. And yeah. You hear the chainsaw start to rev.
Now, here's the thing. So,
and it ends with the Ink Spots set the world on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Great tune, by the way.
Yo, they have some freaking bangers. They have more in this show. The Ink Spots got some good songs, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it that all of these people know Lucy and her dad? Like,
yeah.
There's some big mystery here as to why Moldaver wanted her dad and clearly wanted him for some reason. There's some mystery as to why Wiltzig knew who Lucy was. You know, I'm just wondering, where are they going to connect this later? How are they going to connect this later?
It's such a weird situation. And we forgot to mention, when they saw each other in Philly, he mentions like, oh, you're from Vault for 33. Your main source of food is corn. You guys do this and you pride yourself on doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And it's like super spot on for whatever. So he knows the experiments in the vaults. So I would love to get more understanding of the Enclave. I guess that's part of the Brotherhood. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but I'm not sure either. But clearly they have information on the vaults. And I'm wondering, too, you know, obviously the vaults were made, you know, before the war and everything. So all of that information on the vaults, the people that were going to live in there, that had to be like centrally located somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's how Wiltzig knows how much he knows. That being said, all that information, that pre-war information or whatever, how was it getting updated over 200 years?
Yeah.
You know, how did Wiltzig know who she was if any of the information that they would have had pre-war, you know, would have been pre-war information, not, hey, we're keeping an eye on your family tree, you know, and whatever.
Yeah, so that's super weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's interesting, but I love how they're world building their part of Fallout.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's been a fun ride so far.
Absolutely. And, you know, you and I had a conversation the other day how essentially for the first, you know, 20 years or so, 20 years of movies and TV shows being made from video games, they were horrible. I mean, Double Dragon was awful. The Mario Brothers movie with like John Leguizamo.
Phenomenal. That was the only good one.
The one from the 90s?
Bro, I love that Super Mario movie.
Do I love it? Yes. Cult Is
classic.
It good? No.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's one of those movies that's it's so bad
that you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, even moving after that, I'm trying to think, like, Assassin's Creed was not that great.
You know what? I enjoyed Assassin's Creed, but yeah. Netflix is doing an Assassin's Creed show. I just don't know when it's coming out, which...
Didn't even know that.
I'll probably force Alex to have us do a podcast on that.
Maybe. We'll see. But regardless, like, most of the TV shows and movies based on video games are horrible. Every now and then you got an okay one, like the first Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't, like, super faithful to the games, I still love the first Resident Evil movie.
Yeah.
So every now and then you get some. But then over the last, you know, few years... We've gotten some really good movies and TV shows.
I agree.
Sonic has been successful and critically acclaimed. Super Mario Brothers was successful and critically acclaimed. Last of Us was probably the best of all of the TV shows and movies that been adapted from games. So now we've got Fallout here, which obviously already is successful. They're greenlit for a season 2. And I'm just really excited for where things can go, because a lot of times, you know, movies and TV shows, they can tell a story pretty well, but I also feel like video games can as a medium for storytelling are way bigger and way better than movies and TV shows ever were. And I think maybe that's also part of why older movies and TV shows based on video games didn't do well, because they didn't find the formula. They didn't find the way to, like, make these huge, vast worlds that are in video games digestible to the mass audience.
Yeah.
And I think now we've kind of gotten to a point where they've figured it out.
I think part of it is just actually staying true to the video game. I think back in the day, it was like, oh, that's too out there to be true with, to be in a movie or TV show.
Yeah, they were not trying to make the movies or the TV shows based on the video games. They were just basically saying, well, we're just taking the fact that it's a, that we're taking the name and its popularity and we're doing our own thing.
Right.
And now they're starting to see, okay, well, the people, the core audience are going to be the people who are playing these games.
Right. So you got to stay true.
Right. But then they're doing enough to get the mass audience in there as well.
Yeah. And I think you hit it spot on. It's like, oh my God, what did you say earlier? It's basically telling, oh, video games tell incredible stories themselves. You don't need to change that story
right
at all. It's just tell that story the way you want to, but you don't need to change it. Because the video games, even from when we were kids, tell really good stories. But nowadays, because they have all this, you know, you can do cinematics and watch some stuff going on, the story's even better, you know, and visually better. Like, you can see it instead of reading things about it.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, you know, from us having played video games for the last decade or so, I was very much someone who initially would be super into video games, super into the lore, you know, doing my own research on stuff, watching all the cinematics, doing deep dives on things. And now I've kind of shifted away from that. Like, when I'm playing video games, I skip all the cutscenes.
Don't read anything.
I don't read any of the stuff. I'm just there for the gameplay.
Yeah. But video games, like you said, you have the cinematics, but there's also like lore to the games that's written, all of them. Like, that just have backstory that you can find in the game that you don't have to, but if you find it, you go, man, this world is like vast.
And, right.
You know.
What I was going to say is, like, now watching stuff like Fallout is making me say, okay, well, maybe I really should start getting back into paying attention to, you know, the actual story in games.
You heard it here first. Alex is going to stop skipping cinematics.
I did not say all that. I just said I'm thinking about
playing games with him, and him skipping cinematics is the worst.
I wouldn't say it's the worst.
I enjoy just story when I play video games. It's amazing.
No, I honestly, now that I'm kind of wanting to go back and play Fallout, I might have to go and like actually start watching stuff that actually is happening in the games. Now, 76 is clearly, from what I've seen and what I've heard, not as heavy on the story and the lore, because the focus is more on the multiplayer aspect of it.
Yeah.
But either way, this could be a turning point in my old age of getting back into single player games or stories in games in general.
Enjoying the story. I like it.
We'll see. We'll see.
You got me excited.
Either way, I'm excited for the next episode of Fallout. I'm excited that season 2 is happening. Who knows where we go from there. I wonder too, like, what's going to be the next big video game movie or TV show? Let us know if you have any opinions on
Zelda's got a movie coming out, and I'm really nervous, but we'll talk
about
that.
They're going to
mess it up.
They're going to mess it up.
Nah, we're good. Everything's fine.
But yeah, check us out here next Friday for the next episode of Fallout. We have started season 3 of The Boys, and that's going to be followed up with Gen V after that's done, and then season 4 of The Boys this summer. And we are going to be making a decision very soon on what the next TV show that we're going to be watching is. There is a lot of stuff coming out over the next few months, and we can't watch it all, but we're hoping that we can pick something that you guys will be interested in. So let us know if there's a TV show that you want us to watch this summer, and maybe we'll do that. We'll see.
Yeah, give us some input.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, we will see you next week.
Peace.